Texas. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Lou Mulligano. His statements were outrageous. He's convinced President Bush will set him free because he saw it in a dream. Tears of 9/11 witnesses, quote, make my day. 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui on the stand today, and CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was in the courtroom.
The defense called Moussaoui as a witness to try to show he's paranoid, delusional, that he's convinced his government-appointed lawyers want to kill him. Instead, he accused them of, quote, criminal non-assistance. And he carefully laid out the religious basis for his hatred of America and his desire to keep fighting it, saying that under the Quran, quote, we have to be above you. Moussaoui did say he believes a dream he had that President Bush will release him. I have faith it will happen before the end of the term, he said. Are you crazy? Prosecutor Rob Spencer asked him. Thank God I'm not, he replied. Are you delusional? I'm not, he said. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
The district attorney investigating the allegations of assault and rape against Duke University lacrosse team members is expected to ask a grand jury Monday for charges. This from several defense attorneys. Today, a recording of police radio traffic has one of the first officers to see the woman making the charges saying, she's breathing and appears to be fine. She's not in distress. She's passed out drunk.
She's 1056 and unconscious. I have 222 continuum.
10-4, you need a medic truck or you took
her? She's breathing and appears to be fine. She's not in distress. She's just passed out drunk.
A 27-year-old stripper and college student told police she was raped and beaten at an off-campus party she was hired to perform at. No arrests have yet been made, but Duke's canceled its lacrosse season and the coaches quit. Honda says it may scale back on its production of the Accord Hybrid, a car that runs on a combination gas-electric engine. At Kelley Blue Book, Jack Nared's editorial director.
There is a small segment of the buying populace that very strongly believes in hybrids, wants them, has bought them, but the much larger segment of the population is still unconvinced.
Nared says motorists have found easier ways to fight higher gasoline prices than buying a car whose price is too high and the efficiency isn't what it could be. A 21-year-old has been arraigned on charges that he bludgeoned or strangled six relatives whose bodies were found in a rural southeast Pennsylvania house. East Lampeter Police Chief John Bauman.
In police custody at this time and charged with six counts of criminal homicide is Jesse D. Wise, age 21.
Authorities say Jesse Wise has confessed to the murders. Operation Last Call is being put on hold. The Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission says it was worthwhile but concedes maybe it needs a little tweaking. It involves sending undercover agents into bars and arresting drunks for public intoxication. Stocks closed mostly higher today, wrapping up a rather tepid, abbreviated week. The Dow finished with a gain of more than 7.5 points at 11,137, up more than 17.5 on the week. The NASDAQ was up 11. This is CBS News.
My dad said the bed bugs were gone, but they were hiding in my mattress.
My dad set traps for all the ants, but they like our breakfast cereal better.
My daddy is a hunter, but he's not very good at hunting the mice in our house.
Some problems are better left to professionals. Visit PestWorld.org today to find a qualified pest professional to protect your home and family.
I think termites are smarter than my dad.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free.
I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
The season's getting a lot closer, and the chatter is heating up. It's all about hurricanes. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the details.
17 named storms, 9 hurricanes, 5 of them major. That prediction from Colorado State forecaster Dr. William Gray, who says we may be only about a third of the way through a very active cycle.
I don't know exactly how long this active period will go, but probably the best estimates might be 15 or 20 years. But that doesn't mean every year is going to be that active.
Gray says there's about a 2 in 3 chance of a major hurricane hitting the East Coast, about a 50% chance for the Gulf, and the Northeast could even see some activity.
The odds in the Northeast may be twice what the long-term average is.
But don't get alarmed. Gray says it still could be as low as 10%. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Tens of thousands of worshippers are expected to fill the Georgia Dome Sunday for what's billed as the country's largest Easter service. Organizers from Atlanta's New Birth Missionary Baptist figure there's going to be 40,000 showing up. I'm Lou Malagano, CBS News.
Every day, Progressive does something that's, well, progressive. They have this real-time ticker on their website. It shows their rates for car insurance and the rates of their top competitors, like State Farm and Allstate. Right now at Progressive.com, you can see actual rates that people are getting. Sometimes Progressive Direct is the lowest. Sometimes they're not. If they're this helpful when you're shopping for car insurance, imagine how they'll be once you're a customer. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Available in most states and situations. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
Get the good stuff!
Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Gunk Engine Bright or Foamy Engine Bright for just 49 cents after a $1.50 mail-in rebate. It's the best way to remove grease and grime from auto, lawnmower, marine, and tractor engines. Whether you're detailing your engine or just cleaning it up, Gunk Engine Bright will get the job done. So come to Napa and get Gunk Engine Bright or Foamy Engine Bright for just 49 cents after mail-in rebate. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Collins. It's time once again for the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, originating on the coast of California. Our program is live en vivo on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. We are all the way live en vivo on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, and Humboldt County. And our brand new listeners hear the show on KPHX 1480 in Phoenix, Arizona. Starting Monday, we add another station, 1240 Talk City in Sacramento, California. And if you're one of my online listeners and you think there's a radio station in your area that would love the Peter B. Collins Show, drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. That's the same website where you can access our live stream weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Time. There's also a link to our archives at whiterosesociety.org, and they tell me their podcasts available there, too. This is a two-way talk program, which is the fancy way of saying we take your phone calls. On the Central Coast, you can call me on a local line at 831-899-5792. Elsewhere, it's toll-free, at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Coming up in about a half hour, Dan Hamburg will join us. He ran for governor of California on the Green Party ticket in 1998. He also served a term in Congress, and he wants to warn you about the risks of mercury. Mercury used as a preservative in prescription drugs that are given to children. And many believe this is a link to the high incidence and the vast increases in autism in this country. And in our second hour, we'll spend the hour with Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the United States Air Force. He taught at the National War College, the Air War College, the Naval War College, and he is a critic of the Bush administration. We'll talk about just how quickly Iran might be able to develop a nuclear weapon, and just how much saber-rattling and war drum beating is going on inside the Beltway these days. And in our final hour today, Kyle Hentz will join us. He is a co-founder of 9/11 Citizens Watch, and we're going to get his comments on the way that the tapes were used in the closing arguments, the penalty phase of the Moussaoui trial in Virginia this week. That's all ahead here on the PBC Show. I'm glad you're listening. Feel free to call in and participate whenever the mood strikes you. Every week we spend a half hour with Faz Shakir, the factoid dispenser from the Center for American Progress. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. If you don't receive it already, you should. It's a free email, and you just log on to progressreport.org and give them your email address, and they'll send it to you every day, just like they do for me. Faz, how are you?
Hey, Peter, how are you doing? Hey, but on the top, I should congratulate you. It seems like the Peter B. Collins universe is expanding with all these new listeners and stations that you're getting.
Well, we're doing our best, Faz.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's the plan here, and I appreciate your compliment, and I just hope that we can keep on growing. There's room for a lot of more progressive voices in the media. As you're well aware, the right wing has a 14-to-1 advantage in the talk radio arena.
Well, you know, we at the Progress Report are huge fans of you, and I know that you've had many of us on your show, so we'd love to hear you get a larger audience. So,
well,
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's exciting. Now, when is the Center for American Progress going to put your mobile weapons labs on the road and come out to the West Coast so that we can inspect them?
as one defense analyst called it, they're the largest sand toilets in the world because apparently, you know, what they found was weapons, or I guess trailers that really had no purpose whatsoever in terms of bioweapons production. And the big news this week is that the administration knew beforehand, even though that they were claiming that they had found the weapons of mass destruction.
Now, hold on. If you keep that up, you're going to have to apologize to Scott McClellan.
He went on the attack this week when the Washington Post wrote that story. He said that the press was the one who was exaggerating, and they were the ones to blame, not the administration, for having inaccurately reported.
Well, Scotty boy, here is our apology. This is all you're going to get.
Excuse me.
But, Scott, excuse me. The facts don't add up, and this pushback, it's very interesting, is what we would call a non-denial denial, because the Washington Post did not assert that the president lied. They simply pointed out the timeline of when the information came into Washington about the locating of these trailers. They jumped to a conclusion that they were mobile weapons labs, and the president went running around saying, "We found the weapons of mass deception!" Destruction is what he meant. And then 2 days later, a memo arrives in Washington saying, excuse me, these aren't really mobile weapons labs. It looks like it was related to anti-aircraft stuff. And the president continued to make the assertion that we had found WMD for some time after that. So one looking at the record would draw the conclusion that the president continued to use information that he knew was false.
Right. And one other thing that we reported today is that by June 7th and June 8th, the New York Times on its front page had reported that defense analysts were saying that the trailers were not intended for bioweapons production. This is June 7th, June 8th, and yet of 2003. And then for another 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months, the administration goes out and continues to state unequivocally that the trailers are for the production of bioweapons. And there's more and more evidence coming forth that the administration knew and that they intentionally covered up the real story. Of course, that's not unexpected. It was comical to hear what Scott McClellan said. He said it was reckless of the Washington Post to report that story and said that they were trying to draw the inference, the impression, that President Bush may have misled the country into war.
Well, and of course, that word reckless and what's the other one? Wild speculation.
That's right.
Those are the official buzzwords from the administration this week.
Right. And I mean, it's just comical to think that that Scott McClellan is now hammering the media for drawing the impression that President Bush may have misled us into war. I mean, this isn't just one story. We're talking about the latest and an avalanche of stories when you talk about all of the evidence that we have learned about bioweapons, just generally WMD, Iraq al-Qaeda connections, nuclear, aluminum tubes, yellow cake, all of that together has left the clear impression to the American people that President Bush did mislead us into war. It's not just one story, and Scott McClellan wants us to believe that one story is creating this damaging impression that President Bush misled us into war.
Now, on the Mobile Weapons Labs issue, my personal BS detector software went ballistic on February 6th of 2003 when I watched on my big screen TV Colin Powell give his statement to the United Nations. And when he produced these drawings of the alleged mobile weapons labs, I looked at him and I said, a 12-year-old with PowerPoint or Mac Draw could create an image like that. And there is no way to independently confirm that this is anything more than a speculative drawing that came from, oh, Chalabi or Curveball or the Office of Special Plans at the Pentagon. And it's interesting, Faz, because yesterday we interviewed Robert Scheer, the journalist who got dropped by the L.A. Times last year. He's now the founder of TruthDig.com. And he interviewed Colin Powell at an event in Los Angeles earlier this week. And Powell didn't talk about the mobile weapons labs issue specifically, but he did acknowledge that it was Cheney who had pushed for the conclusions that were, you know, delivered to the American people that we now know were clearly based on speculative intelligence at best.
Right, right. In terms of this bioweapon story, I tried to talk a little bit about the backstory here in the progress report today. I'm trying to explain why the administration would have pushed so hard to claim that they had found weapons of mass destruction. You'll recall that President Bush went to war saying that we were going to find WMD. And then by May 1st, 2003, he says, you know, we've accomplished our mission in Iraq, goes out to great fanfare and declares this. Of course, what we found is that when people were claiming that the WMD had been found or that the mission had been accomplished, the question that they had was, where's the WMD? And so another couple of weeks go by, and everybody's questioning, why, where are the WMD if you say the mission has been accomplished? So there was a great amount of pressure on the administration to explain where the WMD were. And so once they found trailers that kind of look like the drawings that you're talking about, they were anxious to declare the WMD had been found and continue to perpetrate that myth for a number of months to try to ease the pressure that they were facing.
Well, and lifting a quote from today's progress report, still as late as January 2004, Cheney declared, "We've found a couple of semi-trailers at this point which we believe were, in fact, part of that program. I would deem that conclusive evidence, if you will, that he did, in fact, have programs for weapons of mass destruction." Now, this is very interesting because by January of 2004, the language had changed from weapons of mass destruction to weapons of mass destruction program activities. Remember that?
That's right. In his famous January 2004 State of the Union address, President Bush changed the language on what they had actually found in Iraq based on the reporting of David Kaye and stated that what they had found was not WMD, but as you said, weapons of mass destruction program-related activities.
And what the hell does that mean anyway?
Nobody understood it then, and nobody understands it now. But clearly they were trying to create the impression, recklessly, that they had found the weapons of mass destruction and that therefore Iraq had been a success. And as you know, Peter, the polls still indicate that there is a vast amount of people, too many, in this nation who still believe that we have found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Right. We'll pick up there as we continue with Faz Shakir. We're also going to talk about net neutrality and future plans that could sharply change your access and use of the World Wide Web thing. I'm Peter B. Collins. He's Faz Shakir. More coming up in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, Central Coast 899-5792. Toll free from anywhere at 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and through electronic filing get you that refund as soon as you need it in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show, About College Funding, this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast, and now in Phoenix, Arizona. We continue our weekly debriefing of Faz Shakir, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. And, Faz, as we take a look at the flap over the reporting originally from the Washington Post, but others have been covering this as well, about these alleged mobile weapons labs and the president's declaration that we had found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, one of the things that I haven't seen linked to this new information is what we learned a few weeks ago about Tony Blair's meeting with Bush in the Oval Office about January 30th, just a few days in 2003, before Powell went and told those whoppers to the United Nations. And in that meeting, they discussed a couple of ways of trying to provoke Iraq into attacking a remarked plane, an American plane that would be marked as a United Nations plane, which seems bizarre to begin with. And that if they could get Iraq to fire on that, that that would provide additional provocation. And it became clear that Bush didn't expect to find weapons of mass destruction and was hell-bent on invading Iraq anyway. And, of course, it was Blair who wanted the protection of the additional United Nations resolution, which, of course, was linked to WMD. And given that the president knew that before he sent Powell over to the United Nations to dish up this phony and, in some cases, hyped intelligence, that, I think, becomes part of the pattern of the president's behavior and the deceptive methods that they were using to drive America into war with Iraq.
Well, you bring up another good point in terms of the legal justification for war. That's not something that the American public seems to really care a great deal about, but I think the international community cares a lot more about, which is, was this war legal or not? And Kofi Annan has declared it illegal, as a number of other people, including Hans Blix, has, because the primary justification for going to war did not exist. And I think that might offer another reason why the Bush administration wanted to claim that they had found WMD, because it would have absolved them of that legal question and help mollify the international community by saying, well, we found the primary justification for going into Iraq, so get off our backs.
You also cite in the progress report today a memoranda prepared by Stephen Cambone, Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, and he basically confirmed on May 27th, is this correct, that there were no WMD and that these bio labs were simply trailers, not mobile weapons production facilities?
This is the most interesting part of the story, I think, is because this team that went to Iraq reported back on May 27th that there were definitely no WMD trailers in Iraq. On May 27th, the Pentagon learns this information, and then Cambone, who's the head of the intelligence department at the Pentagon, the next day delivers a report to the public that says there are definitely WMD trailers in Iraq. So he took a report that unequivocally stated one position, turned it around, and delivered the opposite position the very next day. And I think he has a lot of questions to answer. And, of course, he's still high up in the Pentagon, very close with Stephen Hadley, who's the National Security Advisor, mm-hmm. and they're very loyal to Rumsfeld and Cheney. So these are serious questions for them to answer about what they were doing with the intelligence and why they were mishandling it.
One other important story for our listeners that's been covered in the progress report, and we just have about 2 minutes fast, so we'll tell people to look at yesterday's progress report at progressreport.org. But it has to do with what you call net neutrality. And there's another interesting, not quite related item in the New York Times today, that there's a little secret room at the AT&T switching facilities in San Francisco, and there is some multi-million dollar device there that is doing the sifting through emails that is part, we think, of the NSA's eavesdropping program that at least partly operates domestically.
Right. In terms of the net neutrality, the issue here is a telecommunications bill that's going through Congress. And the best way we like to liken this net neutrality is to a phone bill. Phones, you can communicate with anybody at the same rate. It doesn't matter if you're Paris Hilton, Brad Pitt, the speed of your phone connection is going to be the same. The issue is we want the net connections to also be the same, but there's a danger here that people who can pay more will get faster rates and therefore create a bifurcated Internet system that won't benefit all.
And some people also feel that I guess AOL has set up a program where spammers who pay them can send junk email to people, but spammers who don't can't.
That's exactly right. The issue here is that the people with money are fighting to get greater benefits from the Internet and have a special system set up for them so that they can weed out the people who are at the lower income scales, small businesses, prevent people like Microsoft and Google, or younger Microsoft and Google, from developing. And so the issue is, are we going to stop the moneyed interest from creating a bifurcated Internet system, or are we going to create an equal system for all?
Congressman Markey from Massachusetts had an item in the subcommittee that was rejected by a 23-8 vote, so that indicates the Democrats sided with Republicans to block a net neutrality proposal.
Well, the money is very difficult to turn down. The telecoms are pouring in a ton of money into these, and we got an election year, of course, so it's going to be very difficult for a lot of these Democrats and Republicans to turn down the money, but there's a greater principle at stake, and we would hope that they pay attention to that.
Thank you very much, Faz Shakir from the Daily Progress Report. Coming up next, Dan Hamburg here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and that makes me your humble host, Peter B. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk with retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner. He is an expert on the situation in Iran, and he has some sharp disagreements with the Bush administration. We'll air that out in the next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Joining me now is Dan Hamburg, who served in The Congress of the United States did us all a big favor and showed Frank Riggs how to retire. And then he ran for governor on the Green Party ticket in 1998 and earned my vote along with 90,000 other Californians. Dan Hamburg, welcome to our program today.
Thanks. I'm really glad you're back on the radio.
Well, thank you. And things are going great, as we were referring just a little before you joined us. Our program is growing. We've got a new station picking us up in Sacramento next week. We're on in Phoenix and two stations in California. So we've got a lot more to do, but it's exciting to see things growing and to be able to reach more listeners.
Well, there are a lot of people out there who are looking for good information. And by that I mean information that hasn't already been digested by the corporate establishment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very glad to hear that you're on, and that more and more kind of forward-thinking people are getting on the radio.
Well, thank you, Dan. And this is the program that has provided zero coverage of the Duke lacrosse rape scandal.
Well, congratulations for that, because you can get all you want on MSNBC.
Yes, you can.
And more.
I don't really know what happened there, but I do not feel that that is a story of national importance. Likewise, there was a sad story out of Detroit the other day of a kid who had called 9/11 and his mother died because...
Oh, what a sad story.
The operator didn't take it seriously, but that's a local story. That's not... You know, a national story, and the media really has it backwards, where they take these high-emotion content stories and substitute them for the things that are really important.
Well, as my friend Ralph Nader used to say, or probably still says, if it bleeds, it leads.
Yep, the fuzz and the whuzz.
Yep. That's
speaking of stories that deserve much more coverage, you wrote a powerful op-ed piece that was published 2 days ago in the San Francisco Chronicle. You co-authored it with Lewis Seiler, your colleague at the Voice of the Environment nonprofit. And this is something that I consider to be very important and hugely undercovered in the media. And why don't you describe for us the way the pharmaceuticals in this country are turning a blind eye to the impact of their drugs. And this is so mind-boggling, because these are prescription drugs that either are intended to enhance the health, cure an illness, or prevent, through a vaccine, a disease developing in a young American child. And there is essentially a poison, a mercury-based drug, that is used as a preservative in these pharmaceutical prescriptions.
Yeah, it is a very strange story, and I think you're right. A lot of people aren't very familiar with this story because it really hasn't gotten much media coverage, at least not until recently. There's a book that came out in 2005 called Evidence of Harm by a New York Times science writer named David Kirby, and that book has... I won't say it's been flying off the shelves, but it's definitely kind of crystallized a lot of the feeling out there. And Kirby was recently on with Tim Russert on Meet the Press, and you know, there's been more coverage. But the basic issue here is that the pharmaceutical companies, actually many decades ago, came up with this product, and it's a product that's about 50% methylmercury.
Mm-hmm. And it's called thimerosal.
It's called thimerosal.
Mm-hmm.
And thimerosal is used as a preservative in vaccines. And why would you use a preservative in vaccines? Well, the reason is that it's more economical storage capability for health departments and doctor's offices if they can package childhood vaccinations in multi-dose vials. So you'll have these, you know, maybe a bottle, you know, maybe even as large as a liter that contains a given vaccine, whether it's a mumps, measles, rubella, or a hepatitis C, or polio, or whatever the vaccine. So they begin using this mercury-based pair of injections that infants and toddlers receive from just, I think when we were kids, Peter B., there were probably maybe four or five vaccinations that we would get. And in the late 80s and 90s, the CDC designed a new schedule where kids were getting upwards of a dozen sometimes as many as 16 vaccinations by the time a kid was, say, 3 or 4 years old.
And I understand it's up into the 20s now.
Could be, with the new requirement for these flu vaccinations. So what happened was a relatively small amount of mercury being injected in the kids, which, by the way, I don't think was ever a good idea. But when they began to up the amounts of vaccinations and thus the amount of mercury, there was a contemporaneous spike in the number of cases of autism and what they call ASD, which is autism syndrome disorders, this whole constellation of illnesses that maybe full-blown autism is the most serious, but it includes many other related diseases, all the way from what they call Asperger's syndrome, mm-hmm. including ADD, ADHD, and many other neurodevelopmental disorders. So this spike began to become very evident in the late 90s, well, by the mid-90s, I'd say, and into the late 90s. And the pharmaceutical companies themselves realized that they were injecting young children, infants and toddlers, with the figure that I see in the literature is between 80 and 90 times the amount of mercury that was recommended by the EPA. So this is, you know, a tremendous amount of mercury being injected into these children. And even though the pharmaceutical companies suspected that this was a problem, and even though there's evidence that the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, and the National Institutes of Health suspected this was a problem, they continued all the way through the early part of this decade. And even today, they are continuing to use thimerosal in certain childhood vaccinations, particularly the vaccination for influenza. The spike of autism has gone from, maybe 1 in 10,000 cases back in the mid-80s to 1 in 166. In other words, 1 out of 166 children in the United States will get autism in their young life.
And in your commentary, you noted that the California Public Schools Autism Prevalence Report for 92 to 2003
right.
shows an incredible increase, over 1,000%
cumulative
growth,
right.
and an average rate of 23% per year.
Right, a 23% average annual growth rate of autism. Autism is now the most common childhood disease in California.
Wow. And this is now we don't have clear science with hard linkage, but you also cite a report from the Journal of American Physicians in the current issue, spring 2006,
mm-hmm.
that shows that the rate of neurodevelopmental disorders in children has decreased following the removal of thimerosal from most American childhood vaccines. But you say that only about one-third of the 11 million children vaccinated for the flu this year will get the mercury-free vaccine. So there at least appears to be very strong evidence indicating that the thimerosal is the trigger for these high rates of autism.
And there are many, many studies. I mean, it's many people would contend, and this includes professionals, physicians, researchers, you know, scientists, biologists, that this link has been proven. There are some, particularly in the government and in some of the professional associations of physicians, who continue to maintain that the case against thimerosal is not bulletproof. In other words, that the causal link has not been proven. You know, it's almost like beyond a reasonable doubt. You know, and you would think that when we're talking about injecting a neurotoxin into the arms and bottoms of our little babies, we would use the precautionary principle.
Well, and you would also think, Dan Hamburg, that the self-interest of the drug companies and their desire to limit their liability for these kinds of developments, autism and other conditions, as a side effect of their drugs, would propel them to take action. But
of course, this is where it gets really nasty.
Yeah, it's cheaper to spend a little money buying Republican votes in Washington. And we'll pick up there as we continue,
okay,
because these companies have immunity now from the kind of suits that I just described. Dan Hamburg is our guest. We're talking about thimerosal, a mercury-based element that is included as a preservative in certain vaccines, and it's having very serious consequences. If you have a question or comment, get on the line now. Dan Hamburg's with us for another 15 minutes. You can call me on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792, and from anywhere else, toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540 for the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances, giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue with Dan Hamburg, the former congressman, former Green Party candidate for governor, now executive director of Voice of the Environment, a nonprofit. I direct your attention to the San Francisco Chronicle. You can read the op-ed piece that he wrote 2 days ago. It's at sfgate.com. That's the Chronicle website, sfgate.com. And the gist of it is, if you just joined us, that America's big pharmaceutical companies, in order to save money, package vaccines in bulk and use a preservative that is a mercury-based element called thimerosal. and it is seriously believed to be a major contributor to the outbreak, the incredible growth in the trend of autism and related neurological setbacks and conditions that afflict many young children in California. Over a 1,000% increase in diagnosis of autism in the last 12 years reported. And Dan Hamburg, as we went to the break, I was talking about how ordinarily the self-interest of these pharmaceutical companies and the financial risk posed by liability suits filed against them for the adverse effects of thimerosal in their vaccines would cause them to clean up their act and get that out of the vaccines. But instead, they went to the Republican-controlled Congress and bought some immunity. It's kind of like their own vaccine.
Yeah, well, it won't be any surprise to most of your listeners that the pharmaceutical industry is one of the most generous of all industries in plying our legislators with campaign cash. They're actually close to the top in terms of the amounts of money that they give. And, of course, the Senate Majority Leader, Bill Frist, is a former, in fact, it's his family that own the majority stockholder interest in Hospital Corporation of America. And Bill Frist, again, the majority leader of the U.S. Senate, is currently facing an SEC investigation for insider trading of HCA stock. So Frist has been at the center of this campaign by the pharmaceutical industry to get blanket immunity for the products they produce. And what that means is that if someone in your family or you yourself are afflicted through a vaccine that was administered to you, your ability to redress that grievance is very, very small and very, very narrowed by this legislation. And the passage of this bill, which actually was signed into law by President Bush on the last day of 2005, is one of the worst examples of legislative chicanery that I've ever heard of. And even if you go back in the history books, you won't find much worse examples of underhandedness than the way this bill actually became law.
Yeah, you quote David Obey, the Democrat from Wisconsin, a congressman, that this legislation was unilaterally and arrogantly inserted into the bill after the conference was over in a blatantly abusive power play by two of the most powerful men in Congress, referring to Frist and Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a pattern. The Medicare prescription drug bill involved attempted bribery on the floor, extension of the voting period for hours, mm-hmm. and votes were switched. Same thing happened on the deficit reduction bill in December of 2005, the energy bill, November of 2005,
mm-hmm.
and the list goes on and on.
Yeah. Another thing that's really nasty about this bill is that it preempts state law. So in a state like California, Assemblywoman Pavley from Santa Monica was able to get a bill through the state legislature in 2004. There was a major campaign to get Schwarzenegger to sign it. Due to the intercession of Maria Shriver, he finally did sign it over the objections of the pharmaceutical industry and several other interest groups in California. But now with this new legislation that Frist and Stevens and Hastert have managed to sneak through, the California law can be made meaningless at the stroke of a pen.
That's amazing. And let's take a call. Karen in Morgan Hill. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Dan Hamber.
Hi. I am involved in a health organization, and you were talking about the number of vaccinations. And actually, according to Dr. Pam Popper, and I took these notes back in 2004, today the average child is mandated by law to receive 37 doses of 11 different vaccines by the age of 5.
Wow.
And also that newborns are vaccinated against hepatitis B. And it's not exactly like they're out partying and drinking and having a good time.
You know,
she also was saying how...
Just a second, Dan. Go ahead, Karen.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, it's a fact that children have an increase in infections from birth to 7 years, and then then the disease rate drops dramatically, and at sometimes these parents are, it's overkill. I mean, it's good for a child to get measles so that he develops a resistance and immunity later on in life, but they're not allowing this to happen.
Yeah. Dan, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that the United States pushes these vaccinations so much harder than most other countries around the world. And also the United States is one of the only countries in the world, at least of the developed, so-called developed world, that allows thimerosal to be used in vaccines. And the other thing I wanted to say is the effect of all this is that more and more mothers are shrinking at the thought of having their kids vaccinated. My own daughter did not want to have her daughter vaccinated, because, and particularly this hepatitis vaccine, she just said no. So if the purpose is to have a good vaccination program that will protect, protect our young people, we're doing the opposite of it, because people are losing confidence.
Yeah. Karen, have you had any contact with these problems, either your own kids or others?
Well, actually, I have run across a lot of children with autism. I am dealing with Whole Foods, and we have noticed a huge difference, and with ADD and things like that, when the diet is improved. Mm-hmm. And I'm also, lately, I've really been looking more and more into the genetic engineering of foods, and it would not surprise me that they also contribute, because when they do their, when they transfer the gene, one strand of DNA is 10 feet long, and they really don't know where that gene is supposed to, so it's imprecise. Plus the fact that they have a promoter gene in there that kicks that on 24 hours a day, but it also kicks on other genes that they haven't anticipated, and unfortunately it's proven that it does transfer to the human body. And with the way that people are eating nowadays, and women are eating, and all the fast foods, at least the fast foods and the chemicals would stop in your body once you ate them. I mean, they're inert and they cause enough damage. But now with genetic manipulation, this promoter gene just kicks on, and you've got a 24-hour who knows what being a factor in your body. And I personally think that that could have a huge difference.
Well, as to diet, I can say I interviewed a woman last year, very powerful anecdotal information, that her son, who was eating canned tuna for lunch and often for dinner on a daily basis, started to develop some serious developmental problems. And he was 10 or 11, so it was pretty far along. And they tried all kinds of things. Doctors couldn't figure it out. And finally, they changed his diet, took him off the canned tuna. And within 6 months, he showed dramatic improvement. So,
sure, it was mercury?
You know, yes, mercury was the suspect there. And certainly that's not a clinical trial, but it's very persuasive to me. And I hope people will understand that there is a strong linkage between nutrition and some of these conditions. Karen, thanks a lot for your call. Dan Hamburg, where would you direct people to be active to try to bring more attention to this and push for reform of the use of thimerosal and also this immunity that the pharmaceutical companies bought?
Well, you can go to my website, which is voiceoftheenvironment.org, and you can get some information on the current efforts in Congress that are being led by Senator Ted Kennedy to repeal this terrible law that was passed last year. And he also has a bill in called the, I think it's called the Honesty in Government Act. You know, it sounds kind of pie in the sky, doesn't it? But which would prevent the kind of chicanery that went on that allowed this bill to pass. And as you pointed out, has allowed many other bills to pass.
Yeah.
I also
Dan, I'm sorry, we're out of time. But
I want to thank you
for bringing this issue forward.
Good.
And if we can do anything else to bring attention to it, please let me know.
Great. Well, it's my pleasure, Peter B. Take care.
Dan Hamburg, voiceoftheenvironment.org for more information. Coming up next, retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner joins us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our tasty planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
No regrets for September 11th from confessed Al-Qaeda conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui.
In a defiant, hate-filled tirade, Moussaoui revels in America's September 11th pain. This is Barry Bagnato in Alexandria, Virginia.
Family tragedy in Pennsylvania.
The cause of death for the six victims is listed as homicide.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. He took the stand in his own defense, but Zacharias Moussaoui did not show remorse for the September 11th attacks or regret. Here's CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
If jurors give Moussaoui the death penalty, they may point to what happened here today. Defiant and cocky, he mocked the suffering of September 11th victims and relatives. The Pentagon on fire. My pleasure, he said, on a Navy man killed there. Make my day. I just wish it happened on the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, he declared. The defense put him on the stand to try to show he's delusional. Are you crazy? Prosecutor Rob Spencer asked him. Thank God I'm not, Moussaoui said. Another defense tactic, convincing jurors a life sentence in a super secure cell would be a slow death. I've seen him rot, a prison expert testified. Spencer confronted Moussaoui. You'd be willing to kill Americans even in prison. The reply with no hesitation, anytime, anywhere. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
So where does the trial go from here? CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
I think we're a couple of days away from the end. The judge is hinting that this case could go back to the jury by the middle of next week. There just isn't much for the defense to say, especially given the defendant, his problems with defense attorneys, and the fact that you're dealing with the biggest crime in American history.
Now this.
Your loan's enemy, grubs. Their mission? To destroy your loan. So, backed by Bayer's 100-plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advanced created season-long grub control with Merit, number one choice of professionals. No other formula kills more grubs. Plus, a single application protects your lawn for an entire season. Guaranteed. To grubs, it's the end of the road. To lawns, a new lease on life. Bayer Advanced season-long grub control. Better science, better results.
For me, buying a home is more than the number of bedrooms and bathrooms.
Can't imagine making a purchase like that without having someone you can trust.
Somebody with integrity protecting you.
Ethics are crucial.
Honesty and dependability.
I can't call myself a realtor unless I complete ethics training.
Realtors adhere to a strict code of ethics, so you know you'll be treated honestly. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
They live and work by a code of ethics, and that was really important to me.
Jesse, why did you do it?
Did you love your family?
Why, Jesse? Why?
21-year-old Jesse D. Wise was charged today with killing six relatives. Authorities in Loyola, Pennsylvania say he's confessed. Six were bludgeoned or strangled, their bodies wrapped in sheets and blankets and left in the basement of the home of Wise's grandmother. Police say the youngest victim was just five. A police officer who spotted the woman allegedly raped by Duke University lacrosse players didn't report she was injured, but instead, when asked on the police radio whether she might need help, said she appeared intoxicated.
She's 10:56 and unconscious. I have 222 continuum.
10-4, you need a medic truck or you took her?
She's breathing, appears to be fine. She's not in distress. She just passed out drunk.
The police radio traffic recording was released today. No charges have been filed in the rape case, and defense attorneys say DNA tests have failed to connect any players to the alleged attack, which the woman, a stripper, says occurred after a party in which she performed. Bausch & Lomb is asking stores to remove its Renew with Moisture Lock contact lens solutions from shelves Health officials are investigating whether that product is linked to a rare fungus infection. In Iraq, a car bomb today killed 15 people. The U.S. military has stepped up patrols in the capital from 12,000 in February to 20,000 at the beginning of March. Yes, tax deadline day is near, but if you're not quite there yet, the IRS is making it a little easier to put off doing it.
You can buy yourself an extra 6 months to get the return done. You don't need a reason and you don't even need a signature. And as a matter of fact, you can request the extension electronically.
Versus the four-month extension of past years, but IRS spokesman Eric Smith says don't forget to send in the money you owe to avoid penalties and interest. It was called Operation Last Call, and undercover agents in Texas went into bars to arrest drunks. Now, after widespread criticism, that program has been temporarily suspended.
We understand that everything has room for improvement, and this including.
But Carolyn Beck of the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission defends the program, saying most of those arrested in the sting operations were dangerously drunk and might have tried to drive home. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Rosemount Diamond Shiraz presents The Urban Escape Plan, Bruce and Julie's Place.
It started with us versus our jobs.
I stopped loving mine a while ago.
Mm. Yeah.
So we stumble on a plan.
Over a bottle of Rosemount Diamond Shiraz.
We get a live/workspace.
A little house on the Oregon coast.
All four of us.
Like a commune.
Except with better clothes.
And more frequent bathing.
Great conversation is all about making connections. And Rosemount Diamond Shiraz is the place to begin. Pick up a bottle of Rosemount Diamond Shiraz at your local wine merchant.
XM Satellite Radio is the exclusive satellite radio network for Major League Baseball. And with the new season here, XM radios are available starting at just $50. XM gives you play-by-play for every team, so you can follow your favorite team wherever you are. And XM has America's largest playlist, including the most commercial-free music, plus news, talk, and other live sports. So why wait? Hurry in to stores like Best Buy, Circuit City, or visit XMRadio.com to get XM today. XM Satellite Radio. Listen large.
Price after mail-in rebate and may vary by retailer. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
The Nebraska state legislature is coming under fire for passing a...
Live from the left coast, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm Peter B. If you're a new listener on KPHX 1480 in Phoenix, I'd just like to direct you to our website, peterbcollins.com. where you can get more information about yours truly, your humble host, and also a link to our archives and our live daily stream online. And if you care to, you can drop me an email there too. It's peterbcollins.com. Colonel Sam Gardner is retired from the United States Air Force. He taught at the National War College, the Air War College, and the Naval War College. And I've talked to him a number of times over the last few years because he has been critical of certain aspects of the Bush administration's foreign policy, including the phony intelligence that was used to drive us into war in Iraq. He summarized that early on in a list that, well, Sam, it continues to grow, doesn't it?
Actually, it does. There's some things that we didn't know about then, like some of the Zarqawi stuff that we had been hearing now appears to have been made up.
Mm-hmm. Well, just on that note, it's very interesting. I interviewed a filmmaker, an American from the West Coast, who spent 2 months in Fallujah during the second assault by the so-called coalition when we almost leveled the town in the fall of 2005. And he said at that time that the name Zarqawi was almost like a joke. You know, the way we talk about Elvis?
Yeah.
And that at one point he was hunkered down with a family, and one of the children just, you know, ran up and threw a stick or something like that, and the father joked, "There's Zarqawi." And so right there in Fallujah, where Zarqawi has, at least according to Western sources, spent some time, the locals don't even believe he exists. So there is a gap there between reality and the American story, at minimum.
Yeah, and I think the article that was really highlighted this was in the Washington Post this last week, and I talked to Tom Ricks, who is the guy that wrote the article, and I had said I sort of suspected this from all along, because some of the letters that had been released sounded too much as if he had been a spokesman for the Department of Defense. And particularly one that Tom Ricks and I agreed on was a March 2004 letter that supposedly was at his hand, that underlined, you know, that this was going to be the Central War on Terrorism in Iraq. I mean, it almost used the administration's words.
Wow.
So anyway, we've yet to sort that out. Mm-hmm. How much we've heard about that is true, and how much you know, we've been sort of led down a bad path.
Yeah. Well, we'll probably come back to Iraq later in the hour, Sam, but topic A, not by my choice, is Iran these days.
Yes.
And it is phenomenal to see the way the Bush administration is able to manage the media and set an agenda. And at a time when poll numbers are low, the Fitzgerald investigation continues to put heat on particularly the folks in the vice president's office and Karl mm-hmm. Rove, that their strategy is to distract us by changing the subject. And Iran is cooperating a little bit by responding to some of the provocative messages from Washington and in some ways sort of upping the ante. But let me start here that
sure.
I saw you interviewed on the NewsHour on PBS the other night. And at first I said, oh, great. Sam Gardner's going to be able to talk about the administration's policy toward Iraq? And I assume the interview that you conducted was heavily edited, because what showed up on the tube was good information, but your role was limited to providing a kind of technical and military analysis of the prospects
right.
of Iranian nuclear weapons development. And then they cut you off and switched to Richard Pearl for analysis and commentary, and right away I knew we were going down the tubes. Tell me a little bit about that exchange, and did you offer more that was not broadcast by PBS?
Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, I worked with them in the early parts of Gulf II as a regular analyst of military events. Was almost on every night, and so I know the people very well. Early that morning, they called and said, reserve the evening. We want you to come and talk about Iran, and we're going to develop the story as it goes. I over the day, that changed about four times. And sort of as I understood, I was talking to one of the producers, that what it came down to is rather than talking, I'll sort of quote him, and he's a friend, I don't think he'd mind, they didn't want to do any nuance, but they wanted to have the argument in stark terms. That's why Richard Pearl was invited, to keep it at a stark level. And they said, well, we'll call you back soon. But anyway, I what they showed was actually what they took, which they came over to the house, and we did a couple takes on some very short analysis, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. And had you been on opposite Richard Pearl, what viewpoint would you have presented, Sam?
Well,
Gardner?
I think Richard Pearl is crazy. I mean, you know, it's very interesting to me that a person can have been crazy, looked at the outcome of the situation in Iraq, and continue to be crazy. You know, what one would hope that they learn. I mean, you know, this the argument, first of all, that it's just going to take a little bit of combat power, and, you know, we have this responsibility to take down the regime, and the people of Iran are ready to rise up, and we're not far from having a stable democracy there if we only use the right amount of power. I mean, it's fascinating to me that people will put up with those who have done it to us once before,
yeah,
as we got ready for Iraq, and continue to do it.
Well, and they underbio'd Richard Pearl. For people who don't know who he is, he came on and he was described simply as a former advisor to the Pentagon.
Mm.
Now, his CV is much longer than that.
He's an advisor to Israeli think tanks, to Israeli newspapers. whole range of things that people don't usually mention.
Yeah, he was on the Defense Policy Board. I don't think he's there any longer.
No, he's not any longer, but he was.
But he also was knee-deep in the project for a new American century.
Right,
and,
right.
And all of those are legitimate descriptors that the people at PBS chose not to use. And that, to me, is the impact of the influence of this guy Ken Tomlinson, who's no longer at CPB. But everybody in public broadcasting is looking over the proverbial shoulder saying, well, gosh, can we really broadcast this without getting a whole lot of heat from the White House or their cronies?
Well, maybe a little bit. I know those people fairly well. And I think what I would say it a little bit different way, and that is they go overboard wanting to be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all attitudes are not equal. So that, you know, I remember arguing on there as the run-up to Gulf 2 with this guy who had claimed that Iran had nuclear weapons. Remember the father of the Iranian bomb who wrote a book? And he, you know, so the fair and balance, and I don't mean that in the way Fox uses it, but they try and be balanced. Iran has nuclear weapons. They don't have nuclear weapons. You know, some of those are factually based.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting to me that on the Business Channel, when somebody gets in and says, you know, buy stock in X corporation, there shows a chart. He owns stock in this company. You know, his family owns stock. His company owns stock. So there's pretty good, you know, showing of the position he comes from. But they don't do that when it comes to talking about war. You know, does this person represent any defense industry? Richard Pearl does.
Yeah.
Does this person, you know, what's this person's record in the last war?
Yeah.
You know, 0 for 100. There ought to be some truth in arguing.
Well, also, Sam, I would just say, and I'm not trying to be overly critical of public broadcasting, but today the commercial networks are so unreliable, so full of pandering stories about lacrosse teams and Natalie Holloway and all of that other tabloid fluff,
right,
that I do turn to PBS. It's the first thing I watch every night to kind of get a baseline idea of what the major stories being covered are. And
right,
there is rarely a progressive voice or a sharply critical voice on that program. They will have an administration surrogate or an actual person from the administration, and they're often balanced by people who are centrist, not people who have a sharp criticism or a, you know, a strong opposing point of view.
Right, right.
And
right,
night after night, I keep looking for, you know, Russ Feingold to come on the program. And they did briefly cover his censure proposal. And you know where they did it? They broadcast part of it in a cutaway where many stations were doing pledge breaks.
Oh.
And my station that I was watching happened not to cut away for the pledge break, so I got 3 minutes of Russ Feingold. But
yes,
he didn't make it to the main network feed, and that's part of my criticism. We got to take a break. Sam Gardner's with us this entire hour. We're going to get some detailed information from him next, his views on the real threat posed by Iran, and contrast that with the way the administration is posing it to us these days. If you have a question or comment, get on the line now. From the Central Coast, a local call, 831-899-5792. Elsewhere, call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540 on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
It's tax time again, and there's one Progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. See, people feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on the ride home. It's 421. And here's Amy Knight.
Not bad this afternoon, Peter. Actually, looking good. No new stalls or accidents to report around the Monterey Bay. Highway 1 checks in clear along the coast, traveling from Moss Landing up toward Watsonville. But we still have a closure of Highway 152 or Carlton Road in Watsonville. Recent storm damage. We'll let you know when that reopens and if some detours are in place. 156 checks it clear through Prunedale, and no reports of any problems on Highway 68. The admission-free Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk is open daily for spring break, April 8th through the 23rd. Come ride the 125-foot-tall double shot. Check out beachboardwalk.com for special spring break discounts. Amy Knight, traffic on KRXA 540.
Sounds great, a roller coaster on Easter weekend.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Thanks, Amy. We'll check back in a half hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And the clarinet stylings of Mr. Acker Bilk at the moment. I know you were dying to know. Yeah, who's playing that clarinet? Huh? Tell me. And we continue our conversation with Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the U.S. Air Force and, as you now know, a PBS commentator. And we've been talking a little bit about coverage. I want to move now just to get your thoughts and analysis, Sam Gardner, on the true threat posed by Iran. Now, in an obviously staged event on the birthday of the great Prophet Muhammad, and no cartoons were presented, Iran made the announcement that they have developed fissionable material. They've at least enriched uranium to some degree.
Right.
And they did so with a full Karl Rove media treatment. There was this backdrop with birds and an English phrase which reads, using atomic energy is our certain right. That clearly was a message not intended for the domestic population in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So Iran is clearly trying to send a message that they will not be intimidated by the United States. And I believe that we have now engaged in a kind of escalating rhetorical war that is extremely risky. But let's start with the technical issues first. How
sure.
far along is Iran, and are we 3 years from a nuclear weapon, 5 years, 10 years? What are your thoughts?
Let me start even one step before that. I don't think there's anybody I know who serious believes that they are not on the path to a weapon. I mean, that is an interesting consensus in the intelligence community and the policy community.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we don't know how close they are. The Israelis say 2 to 3 years. Some technical analysis, if you sort of work back the engineering problem, say 3 years. The last testimony from the State Department on the Hill said 10 years. So what you have to say is somewhere between 3 and 10, probably closer to 5 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, and it is what comes in, we don't have a crisis today. We have a created crisis.
Yeah. So I don't dispute what you just said, that their intention is to start with nuclear power plants to generate electricity, and I think their clear intention is to become a member of the nuclear club. Certainly, their ties to AQ Khan, or Han as the Pakistanis would call him, the father of the Pakistani nuke, the most well-identified nuclear proliferator in recent years,
mm-hmm.
and a man who was permitted to retire to a dacha, or whatever you call that in Pakistan, without any real penalties for the clear efforts that he undertook to enable both Iran and North Korea to develop nuclear capabilities.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you would mention him just after I gave the time on when Iran would have a weapon. I think that there's going to be a surprise over the next 3 to 4 months, and the surprise will be that Pakistan ended up giving Iran more than had previously been announced.
Mm.
I think the administration has been setting the stage for that. It began in October when they gave a presentation to the International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna that sort of compared Iran's program to another country. It turns out the other country was Pakistan. And then over the weekend when the Cy Hurst New Yorker article was released, Cy Hurst said that AQ Khan was singing like a bird. One of the reasons he may be comfortable in Pakistan is because he's telling. I suspect we're going to see this surfaced by the administration.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be in a Powell-like presentation to the UN. I think it'll come through Vienna, but I think we will hear that they're farther along than we had expected. And that will be the words. You know, our expectations were less, that they're farther along. And that will be part of the program to build the need to do something.
And just to put it in a little context here, and as always, Sam, feel free to disagree with any assertion or a view that I offer here. But if we just establish simple timelines that in late 2001, Pakistan made it clear they wanted to be our ally and not on the other side. And then Bush in the 2003 State of the Union articulated the axis of evil, which included Iran, Iraq, and North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't until 2005, if I'm correct, early 2005, that Khan, quote-unquote, retired and the many disclosures surfaced about his activities. And one might speculate that the U.S. was following this all along and allowing things to get far enough developed so that we could have this provocation as early as 2006.
Mm.
Your reaction?
I wouldn't. I could use all those data points,
mm-hmm.
but I don't. I wouldn't attribute manipulation to it. I think that had they had a chance to stop, they would have. I think it eventually became they had to present the evidence, And I don't attribute that to somehow, building a case for where we are now. I think it came afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
The preference would be that Iran not be where it is. And then if there's any manipulation, it's in the story and what we do next.
Okay. Sam, we're going to take a break. Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the U.S. Air Force, is our guest. And in the next segment, I want to ask him about the proposed military responses to Iran's development efforts. That's coming up next, along with your calls, Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Toll free from anywhere at 1-888-579-2540. Email me, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school. When you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Ford Fusion, a four-door, five-passenger, midsize sedan. This is my first time in a Fusion, and I think it's a great value. It delivers good mileage, even with a peppy, fuel-injected, 3-liter V6 engine and a 6-speed automatic. We took it for a weekend in the Napa Valley, and it performed very well. Inside, it's roomy and well-equipped with all the usual power toys, including 6-way power driver's seat and wheel-mounted radio controls. Options on my demo include heated seats and an audiophile sound system with 6 CD changer, MP3 input, and great speakers. If you like the Altima, Camry, or similar cars, test drive the Fusion. By the numbers, the 2006 Ford Fusion gets 21 mpg in the city, 29 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $26,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
La, 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 la.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live in Monterey on KRXA 540. Live in Eureka on KGOE 1480. Now heard in Phoenix on KPHX 1480. And starting next week, every night in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City. We continue talking with Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the U.S. Air Force, and we're talking about his views of the real threat posed by Iran and the U.S. response to it. And Sam, I don't know if you're a big David Bowie fan, but he summed up what I view as America's current posture toward Iran in this musical sentiment. Yes, he sings Putting Out Fire with Gasoline. And I note here in a timeline that was published by the New York Times today that Iran's aspirations for centrifuge enrichment and the, you know, the early elements of a nuclear program go all the way back to 1985.
Right,
and here
right.
we have the Bush administration once again, as they did with Iraq, suggesting that there is an imminent threat to the United States of America posed by the intentions of the Iranian government.
Yeah, and we know that's not true. You know, it's very interesting to me, Peter, that somehow, and I want to be careful how I say this, we have embraced the Israeli worry about Iran to some degree. Israel has been saying for about a year now that they don't say we can't allow an Iran with nuclear weapons. What they say is we can't allow Iran to have the knowledge to produce nuclear weapons. The foreign minister of Israel first said that in February of 2005. In his last three press conferences, the president said the same words. We can't allow Iran to have the knowledge to produce a nuclear weapon. Now, what policy people call that is a red line. You know, it's sort of like in the playground, you draw a line, so you cross that, then you're really done bad. That red line has been crossed already, in that we know that the administration has a computer that was smuggled out of Iran which showed how to make a nuclear weapon. So the two ideas are important. One, it is not an immediate threat. But two, we have drawn a line in the sand that implies it is now time to do something about Iran. And I, to what you may have read some of the other things that I've been saying, but I have a feeling that within the next 5 to 6 months, a decision will be made. And it will be reinforced, as we had been talking earlier, by new information which will be revealed. And we will be pushed in the direction of a decision on the use of military force against them.
And first up, we have Mohammed Al-Baradei, who is the head of the International Atomic Energy Commission, IAEA. I always have trouble with what the letters actually mean. And just recently, he called for everybody to ratchet down the rhetoric and the posturing. And to me, I consider that a very important signal. I believe he's in Tehran now trying to get similar restraint out of the Iranians, which may not be easy. But I take him at his word that this is not something that needs to be addressed immediately. Yet we have Secretary Rice just yesterday saying that she wants the UN to take this up within the next month. And one of the issues that surfaces for me, Sam Gardner, is that once again, the U.S. seems to be poised to go forward on an adventure like this sans allies. Because the parties that we've been relying on to intercede with Tehran include Moscow, Paris, and London. And we seem to be ready to blow right past them, particularly the Russians, in our desire to face down Iran one-on-one, mano a mano.
Well, I think that the path towards a coalition will be there. It won't go through the UN. Certainly the Russians won't support any use of military force, and the Chinese won't. I think what we will see evolve in the next 6 weeks is a coalition of the willing to do sanctions. That's, you know, sort of a different use of the term. But there are quite a few talking about sanctions. Sanctions won't change Iran's behavior, but I think we will use them as the basis for finding out who is with us. In other words, if you sign up for sanctions, you sign up for the notion that Iran is really being bad.
Mm-hmm.
The military part of it, and this is important because a lot of people confuse this, it doesn't make any difference what we're doing in Iraq on what is in people's mind of our doing to Iran. The concepts for dealing with the Iranian program are almost entirely have to do with air attacks and cruise missile attacks, none of which are tied up in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the capability to do that. We have the capability to do it alone. We, you know, in this case, one doesn't need a coalition except for support.
Mm-hmm.
I understand from a number of sources, mostly press sources, that the British, and you'll be surprised at this, the French are involved in discussions of military options. But we don't really need either one, and if they're involved, it will be maybe in targeting with special operations, or the French call them commandos, but it will essentially be an American operation.
And
not involve Israel.
Has anybody looked at the ancient history of 1979 when Jimmy Carter authorized a commando-style raid into Iran in an attempt to rescue the U.S. hostages that were being held in Tehran?
Sure.
And it was a total failure.
Yeah, well, it's funny, you pushed one of my buttons. I used to teach that when I taught military operations. It was failed because we screwed it up, not having anything to do with the Iranians. It was just... we did bad stuff, and the military performed badly.
Well, I don't dispute that. I'm only saying that we have a legacy there, and it is,
sure,
I think, an important cautionary note.
Well, I think there's a bigger precautionary note, and I think that, well, there are two things. You know, first of all, you have to step back and ask the question is, would the airstrike that seems to be on everybody's planning list do what it is designed to do? And I have to tell you, I don't think it would.
Mm-hmm.
We might be able to set the program back 2 years, but on the other hand, we might not. And on the other hand, and this is more important, we might create a resolve by the Iranian regime and the people to accelerate the program. You shouldn't use military force when you can't predict the outcome. That's first part. Second part, and this is what becomes profoundly important, and I don't know, this is a little complex, but it's important. And that is, the Iranian regime probably is concerned about support from the people. You know, we hear that. You know, that we're not all sure that they're behind the government. If the United States were to conduct an attack, and I sort of know this from having been through those kind of things in war games, that what they will think about is, how do I respond to keep support of the Iranian people? And the answer that one comes to is, blame it on Israel. That sells it home. Therefore, you have to retaliate against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's first. Second thing is that you want to manage the Muslim rage. In other words, take the cartoon thing and multiply it by 100 and have Tehran supporting it as a policy technique. One can see how even a very limited strike on the Iranian nuclear facilities ends up in a greater Middle East war, in the Third World War.
Well, Sam, comment on this, because I see the brilliant strategy that we've been using on Cuba since 1959 that has kept Castro in power, because he plays the United States card every time he becomes vulnerable, and he is able to get his citizens to close ranks and see the greater threat from the oppressive Uncle Sam. And I feel like we're doing the same thing all over again with Iran.
You know, it's just bizarre. And I don't know how people who say that they believe so strongly in democracy don't say something, and I know there's a Cuban lobby who argues against this, but the logic that if we just said, Cuba, see what democracy is like, trade with us, you know, buy Iowa corn and see what this is like. I don't think Castro could stay in power. But we, you know, by doing the reverse, we seem to ensure.
And we you know, we're doing the same thing with Venezuela. I have mixed feelings about Hugo Chavez, but you know, we've tried to assassinate him and depose him, and we have thrust him into the arms of Cuba and other people who we call our enemies.
It is very important. You know, the administration says they want diplomacy to work. I just got back from a conference in Berlin on Iran, and one of the people I sat next to at dinner and spent a lot of time talking to was a former Swiss ambassador to Tehran. Now, that's important because he was the conduit between Tehran and Washington. You know, we don't have diplomatic relations.
Right.
So the Swiss is the channel.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about and gave me some papers on a proposal that came out of Tehran 3 years ago, in which they said, let's begin discussions on opening diplomatic relations. Iran will even consider recognizing Israel as part of the process we're going to go through. And we didn't respond to that proposal.
Hmm. That's stunning. That tends to suggest that Bush is just determined to find a way to develop a direct confrontation with Iran.
Yeah, the evidence suggests that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always hate to imply motives.
Yeah.
You have to say the evidence is pushing us in that direction.
Understood. We're going to take a break and continue with Sam Gardner, retired U.S. Air Force colonel. And if you have a question or comment, join us, 831-899-5792, a local call on the Central Coast, or use our toll-free line, and we'll pay for the call, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. As we continue, I want to ask Colonel Gardner what the possible repercussions would be of a missile strike on Iran's nuclear facilities. And we need to get him to change the name to Persia so we don't keep confusing Iran and Iraq. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove. KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 448 now, and here she is, Amy Knight.
all kinds of problems on Highway 152 this afternoon on the Hecker Pass, Highway 152 east of Casterly Road. A tree down, partially blocking the roadway, vehicles slowly going around it. Drive with caution. Another portion of Highway 152 in Santa Cruz County at Carlton Road shut down due to recent storm damage. Looks like they may reopen that by tomorrow night. In the meantime, detours are in place. In Chular, southbound 101 after the Chular exit, two large wooden pallets in the right lane, and no problems to report on 68. Did you know that thousands of termites could be attacking your home and you don't even see them until the damage is done? The Orkin Man knows. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN and get the free inspection today. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll get another report in about a half an hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 11 minutes away from the top of the hour. And we continue with Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the United States Air Force. We're talking about the U.S. and Iran dance that is going on right now. And, Sam, I wanted to ask you next about the way that the generals and other Pentagon officials who spoke anonymously to Seymour Hersh and the comments of Richard Perl on the NewsHour the other night indicate that there are at least some people in the administration who think, A, that we could attack Iran with relative impunity, and B, that they're not willing to take off the table the nuclear option, the idea of using a tactical nuclear weapon to destroy Iran's ability to develop a nuclear weapon. The irony of that seems lost on the people who are willing to even engage in that kind of scenario planning. And so we seem to have a kind of unbridled arrogance, at least in some quarters. And I want to make it clear that these comments come mostly from administration officials and civilians, not from uniformed military. But still, the sense you get is that the U.S. still feels almost invulnerable, and that we could pound Iran without any repercussions in the way that we generally did to Iraq from 1993 up until the spring of 2003.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me sort of work backwards from the repercussions. We would be able to conduct the strike with little or no casualties in the force that conducts the strike. The problem is what comes afterwards.
Yeah.
And there's a whole range of things, not the least of which is $105 per barrel oil.
Mm-hmm.
Iran has a number of levers to do that. One of them is to close down or slow down out the traffic in the Gulf, or just to take their own oil off the market. So they now have a slush fund of about $50 billion because that the price that they made their budget on versus what they've been selling oil for,
mm-hmm.
and they put it in the sort of this overflow account. So they could go for some months without selling any oil at all and not feel the effect. Then there is our vulnerability in Iraq. Everybody agrees that they have the capability that they have not fully employed to make things in Iraq go badly.
Mm-hmm.
So that certainly could be.
And just for reference, approximately what is the length of the common border between Iran and Iraq? It's several thousand miles, right?
Oh, it's huge, yes. And it's very rough. In fact, I was talking to somebody today, and you know, one of the items that people say that could be done is restrict blockade POL products from going into Iran because they import gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is that the border is so long and has been so porous for so many hundreds of years that, you know, they couldn't do that. The Iraqi and the Afghans would be selling, and Pakistan would be selling oil or gasoline to the Iranians.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that there is a whole range of consequences. And at that Berlin conference, I talked to a risk analyst from Deutsche Bank, you know, the big German bank, and he said, well, sure, there's going to be a big spike after the initial attack, but what we're worried about is what Iran does and then the subsequent impact on oil prices. And what he's saying in the way he said that is they have the leverage They have the ability to make it painful for us.
Sam, you referenced the demonstrations and violence and torching of embassies that occurred after the cartoons were published in Denmark.
Right.
And this kind of an attack on a, you know, sovereign Islamic nation would certainly produce at least similar, if not greater, outbursts from Muslims around the world.
I think it would produce greater. And in fact, I have was talking the other day to a French journalist who said he was talking to the French foreign minister, who said they're worried about that there even. You recall the riots they had a couple months ago, that they would fear that this kind of thing would happen again if the United States conducted a strike against Iran.
Mm-hmm. So as we look at this, many of us just scratch our heads and say, could they be so crazy as to put aside all the issues that you and I have touched on in the last 40 minutes or so and say, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Look, let's go ahead and take out the nuclear facilities that we know about in Iran.
Right, right. I've had this argument with Europeans. It's sort of, you know, I will make this statement to you, and I know you know what I'm about to say, which is you have to realize that the filter that you just suggested was the filter of logic. We now have 5 years of evidence, and they start with O'Neill's book. You remember the former Secretary of the Treasury,
sure. Mm-hmm.
who wrote a book and said, these people don't care about analysis and logic. There have been about six in between, and the last one was Secretary Powell's chief of staff, who said logic isn't one of the things that they take into account.
That's
so my answer to you, Peter B., is yes, it is possible to come to the conclusion that we should use military force.
Now, let me be fair for a moment. I'll try to the president and his advisors. Is there something I'm missing here? Is the crazy mofo scenario something that they think will have long-term a beneficial effect? And this really goes to PNAC, the Project for a New American Century, and that whole blueprint for remodeling the Middle East to permit American dominance to be projected for decades forward.
I don't think you're missing anything. there's some who say, they said to me, okay, Sam, you know, I got all this, but you're being manipulated. This is a deception program with the objective of getting Iran to change its behavior. They don't really plan this. The problem is that Iran is not changing their behavior based upon the threats, and in fact seen more resolved. And you mentioned when we started the conversation about the exhibit yesterday, as they announced they had just enriched to 3.5% with 164 centrifuges.
Well, it just is mind-boggling as we see these events unfold, and we always think the truth and transparency, sunshine, will be the best disinfectant. But we do, you know, I do acknowledge that Iran is poses a long-term threat, and that the, you know, president who was arrested, elected, I'm sorry, last summer, Ahmadinejad, does seem to be very willing to provoke the United States. But then when we look at the big picture and the deal that we made with India just a month or so ago, it sends a really bad message, particularly to Iran, that says that our friends can violate the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty or fail to live up to it, and that's okay, but because you're on the other side of the ledger, you are subject to completely different treatment.
I know that baffles European policy people, too, and their diplomats. They have trouble explaining that because the logic just, it falls apart. The thing that I guess that we also have to worry about, and you haven't mentioned it, but you need to ask me about this following. According to Cy Hirsch, we may have military troops already inside Iran.
Yeah.
Now, not only has he said it, but the Iranians have said it in a number of times in a number of different ways. You know, before Gulf II, we began bombing Iraq.
Yeah.
And in fact, in the book Cobra II, the words are now repeated, which Rumsfeld told the military commanders, whatever you do, do this, but keep it below the CNN level.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible that we have already begun this operation.
Wow. Sam, on that note, we must close. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate your expertise, and we will draw upon it again.
My pleasure.
Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the United States Air Force. Coming up next, Kyle Hentz joins us from 9/11 Citizens Watch, and we're going to get his reaction to the playing of the Flight 93 flight recorder tapes in the Moussaoui sentencing trial. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley has another exciting show this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. Her provoking theme for the day is, Can You Choose a Better Life? You'll enjoy the questions, the challenges, and surprises. Hear how the author of Authentic Happiness had his whole life turned around at 50 by what his 5-year-old daughter said to him. You'll want to hear what's actually documented about what makes a happy life. Joan's guests are Harvey Kaplan, M.D., who has a successful psychotherapeutic practice in San Francisco, and Deborah Jenkins, who's a personal coach and author of Massive Abundance. You'll hear about what breaks your heart, what mends it, where does fear come from, how do we handle it, why are so many adults getting diagnosed ADD and ADHD? Keep listening, and Joan will keep talking about things that matter. All her shows are archived at joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley, Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Lou Mulligano. It's the penalty phase of the trial of 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnetta was in the courtroom today as Moussaoui took the stand, arguing both sides of the issue, why he ought to get life in prison and why he ought to be executed.
Just as he did in the first phase of this trial, Moussaoui has taken the stand to torpedo his own defense's case. His lawyers argue he's delusional. Asked by prosecutors if he's crazy, he replied, "Thank God I'm not." Another defense claimed that he'd be alone, secure, and no threat to anyone if sent to prison for life. Moussaoui declared he'd be willing to kill Americans even in prison, as he put it, anytime, anywhere. He may have done the most damage, though, when he praised the September 11th attacks with phrases such as, "Make my day and my pleasure," and shrugged off the sorrow of victims, saying, "I wish there would be more pain." Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
How religious are you? CBS News poll just out says Americans on the whole are a religious people.
It's very clear that most Americans do think of themselves as believers. 82% told us that they believed in God. 9% said that they believed in some sort of higher power.
In fact, CBS News Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic says majorities in every demographic say they believe in God. But if you are looking for doubters, the highest, 20%, are among the young, then urbanites, those living in the West, and political independents, 15%. 12% of men have doubts of a higher power. Officials say 21-year-old Jesse Wise has pleaded guilty to murder, 6 counts of murder, killing members of 3 generations of his family, from a 64-year-old grandparent to a 5-year-old cousin. He was led into a rural Pennsylvania court today.
Jesse, why did you do it? Did you love your family?
Why, Jesse, why?
During today's arraignment, the judge asked 21-year-old Jesse Wise if he had any questions, and he said he had just one question, and that was, quote, "When do I get a lawyer?" He was visibly shaken and looked down the entire time.
Mary Stoker Smith's a reporter with KYW-TV. Iraqi police say a car bombing near a Baghdad vegetable market today has killed at least 13 people. A car bomb in the same neighborhood wounded 13 people just last week. CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier says it's more evidence to validate increased U.S. patrols.
U.S. commanders say they are very aware of the perception of growing sectarian violence, especially here in Baghdad. They say that is why they have nearly doubled patrols of U.S. troops on the streets in the past couple of months, not just to be on the lookout for potential violence, for these death squads that are allegedly roaming the streets at night, but also to give Iraqis a sense of security, a sense that they've got another layer of protection out there.
On the markets, the Dow wrapped up the day and the week, because tomorrow's closed for Good Friday, with a gain of 7.5. The NASDAQ was up 11.5. This is CBS News.
Thanks for helping me move, Liz.
Sure.
Time for that California Chardonnay we love.
Ooh, Corbett Canyon?
Canyon.
But we're never going to find a corkscrew.
Oh, don't need one. Got the new Corbett Canyon Premium Wine Cask.
Clever.
Keeps air out, flavor in. Just turn the tap for a glass of crisp, refreshing Chardonnay.
Mmm, where'd you find it?
Premium Wine Section near Woodbridge.
Bet a woman invented it.
Why's that?
Clever, practical, don't need a tool to open it.
Good taste is worth repeating. The new Premium Wine Cask, only from Corbett Canyon. Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
From being buying a home is more than the number of bedrooms and bathrooms.
Can't imagine making a purchase like that without having someone you can trust.
Somebody with integrity protecting you.
Ethics are crucial.
Honesty and dependability.
I can't call myself a realtor unless I complete ethics training.
Realtors adhere to a strict code of ethics, so you know you'll be treated honestly. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
They live and work by a code of ethics, and that was really important to me.
Should you be selective or select a whole bunch? The issue is college applications, and the reporter is Tim Millard.
The new strategy for college-bound students is to fire off as many applications as possible. That's according to a UCLA survey that finds some students apply to 10 or more colleges at one time. High school guidance counselor Stacy Richmond says that's not a good idea.
Not only are they being unrealistic, they're really spending a lot of money to apply to these schools when maybe where they're not going to get accepted off the bat.
She says it's better for students to be selective and find a school they like. Otherwise, she says they'll be stuck at a place they never liked in the first place.
Turning milk into hard liquor and cigarettes. Federal and state officials in Maine have caught 9 on food stamps buying huge quantities of milk and paying the deposit of $1 to $1.50 for each heavy glass jug, then getting the refund on the jugs to buy other stuff. I'm Lou Malagamo, CBS News.
Your loan's enemy, grubs. Their mission? To destroy your loan. So, backed by Bayer's 100-plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advanced created season-long grub control with Merit, number one choice of professionals. No other formula kills more grubs, plus a single application protects your lawn for an entire season, guaranteed. To grubs, it's the end of the road. To lawns, a new lease on life. Bayer Advanced season-long grub control. Better science, better results.
From being buying a home is more than the number of bedrooms and bathrooms.
Can't imagine making a purchase like that without having someone you can trust.
Somebody with integrity protecting you.
Ethics are crucial.
Honesty and dependability.
I can't call myself a realtor unless I complete ethics training.
Realtors adhere to a strict code of ethics, so you know you'll be treated honestly. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
They live and work by a code of ethics, and that was really important to me.
Okay, what's wrong? Nothing. We're in the third hour of the Peter B. Collins Show today. And I'm glad you're listening. I happen to believe that Zacharias Moussaoui is a wild one. And if he's not crazy, well, he does have a death wish. And it appears that the U.S. government, in its desire to blame someone, anyone, for the 9/11 atrocities, they want to put this guy to death. And as we'll discuss a little bit later this hour, one informed commentator who supports the death penalty and supports prosecution of those responsible for 9/11, says that this is a bizarre kind of assisted suicide. And the assist is coming from the United States government. This hour, I've asked Kyle Hentz to join us. I met Kyle when I went to Washington a few years ago to observe the proceedings of the 9/11 Commission, the Kane-Zelikow Commission, as it's been properly renamed by scholar David Ray Griffin. And Kyle has been a great resource. In fact, David Ray Griffin and others came my way in many cases as a result of the connections of Kyle. And I asked him on the program today because this week it's been very hard for me to sit still and watch what I consider to be a travesty of justice perpetrated against a guy who is asking for it. And that doesn't, in my view, rationalize it or excuse it in any manner. And we have this bizarre situation where a man who clearly was not the 20th hijacker, a man who has delusions of being a martyr for Al-Qaeda, has given conflicting testimony, and we take out of it what we want to hear, what we want to believe, and what supports the notion that this man deserves capital punishment. And it has reached a really tawdry, sordid, grisly, and uncomfortable level this week, as the government has pulled out all the stops and, for the first time, publicly played some of the tape recordings from the cockpit voice recorder and from what they say are intercepted cell phone calls from people on Flight 93, which was hijacked and allegedly crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. And you hear me offering allegedly and this and that because I don't believe that whole story. And the corporate mainstream media in this country has uncritically replayed the government's version of these events without raising a single question about the veracity of the testimony provided. And, to boot, this is very uncomfortable for the survivors of the victims of 9/11. And those family groups are people who originally allied with Kyle Hentz and others to form 9/11 Citizens Watch. Kyle, welcome to our program today.
Hey, thanks for having me on again, Peter.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk with you on difficult issues. And first up, what's your reaction to the way the government has bent over and into, you know, incredible conniptions or contortions in its effort to win a death penalty judgment from this jury of Moussaoui?
Well, I guess one way you could look at it is it's sort of let's put the focus here. Let's satisfy the hunger of those Americans who want to see a measure of revenge, if you will, meted out. And let's put all the focus here and create this drama, you know, trigger the pain and suffering, whip up that frenzy, if you will. I mean, and some people are offended by it, but there are others who really want to see justice meted out, and this is a sort of a drama theater, if you will. All the events were real and tragic. But to sort of the net effect of this is that the attention is directed away from the fact that the people they say were behind 9/11 are still not been brought to justice. I mean, bin Laden escaped under the nose of the U.S. military multiple times. They had them in their crosshairs with Predator drone missiles, you know, didn't get clearances to fire for who knows why. This is in the lead-up, you know, to the invasion. And then once they did invade, bin Laden escaped multiple times, and they surrounded Tora Bora in the mountains there where they had him cornered and just walked out and into Pakistan. You also have those that were captured a number of years ago and held in, as they say, undisclosed locations. And where are they? And these are the masterminds, whereas Moussaoui is a lesser player, as confirmed by John Farmer, former senior counsel with the 9/11 Commission, in his op-ed a couple of days ago. You know, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Abu Zubaydah, and Ramzi bin al-Shib were all higher levels, according to the official story, and yet they were never brought to justice. So, and their testimony and whatever they coughed up under presumably torture conditions have never been vetted, not even provided the 9/11 Commission. So there's this, you know, of course, this veil of secrecy that's descended on us after 9/11. So just to bring us back to the Moussaoui trial, it's distracting from the fact that justice has never been meted out, and meanwhile, all sorts of questions and And a storm of unanswered questions is threatening to engulf this whole administration and agencies of government, in a scandal that could, transform, and force us to rewrite history. I mean, that's what we're looking at here.
Well, and Bush purports to offer a model to the rest of the world about democracy, freedom, our justice system. And the legal premise for this prosecution, the conviction that they have won, and now the penalty that they hope to win from the jury, is just it puts our Constitution and our legal practices on the proverbial ear. Because this is a guy who, if he were an American citizen, would have been permitted to cite the Fifth Amendment and never have to testify about what he knew or what kind of information was available to him when he was taken into custody in Minneapolis a couple of weeks before 9/11.
Right, and he was in jail when 9/11 happened.
Right. And so what we know is that he was not either by accident or by intent a part of the operation on 9/11 of 2001. And so we are going to extraordinary, irrational lengths to make this guy the fall guy for all those who you just mentioned, who we presumably have in custody, but have decided not even to use the tribunal method at Guantanamo or any other extra legal process to convict and, from Bush's perspective, execute. And so when I look at this, I think that there is serious damage to the U.S. system of justice and to our image across the world as a nation of laws.
I mean, the rule of law is critical to a healthy, functioning democracy, and, we have to adhere to that. And I think in this case, they're going to extraordinary means to basically make this guy the scapegoat. Now, clearly, he is imbalanced at best, I guess, and clearly has, just judging by his reactions in court as I read them about them, he would have liked to have carried out that attack. And so I don't want to sort of be sympathetic to that sort of approach to being in the world and dealing with the problems that we all face. But
sure, that's stipulated. I'm not sympathetic to Massawi at all. I care about our criminal justice system, and I want it to be properly used. And here we have a guy who pled guilty a year ago and admitted to a certain set of facts that were used to convict him, and then when he took the stand against the advice of his attorneys, he told a totally different story.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
nobody is commenting on those inconsistencies, and that the underlying conviction is therefore suspect.
Yeah, well, imagine if we had actually had a trial instead of, I don't know what led him to agree to pleading guilty, but imagine, I mean, we had dribs and drabs come out during the, what did happen in the courtroom. You know, for example, the fact that the fellow in the FBI agent in Minnesota who wanted to look inside his computer, and he put together a FISA application, if you will, to the FISA court, which is the mm-hmm. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, which gives the warrants, gives the authorities permission to search one's private, in this case, a computer, and it was literally doctored. It was sabotaged from within
by superiors
at the headquarters, and that came out.
Right, and the FBI agent from Minneapolis on the stand in the Massawi case said that he felt it was criminal negligence on the part of his superiors in Washington,
exactly,
their failure to respond to the important and urgent messages from both Minneapolis and Phoenix prior to 9/11. We're talking with Kyle Hentz. Kyle, we've got to take a break. We'll pick up there as we continue. Kyle Hentz from 9/11 Citizens Watch. He's with us this entire hour, and you are welcome to join the conversation with a question or a comment. On the Central Coast, lines are open, 831-899-5792. And our toll-free line's available for you, too, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We'll continue in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
KRXA 540, taking a look at your traffic on the way home. It's 521, and here's Amy Knight, Metro Traffic.
New accident, Hotel Story, First Avenue, Highway Patrol on the way. Also, Hecker Pass, Highway 152 east of Casserly, a tree down across the roadway. And good news for the Del Monte Forest, Holman Highway, at Phoenix 5, Highway Patrol just cleared an accident. Did you know that ants talk by smell? The Orchid Man knows. He's trained to sniff out bugs and remove them. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orchid Man at 1-800-ORCHID-MAN. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks a lot, Amy. We'll get another report in about a half an hour. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on KRXA 540. From the left coast, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections, run the country into the ground. And that's a spoof song that came in over email. I have no idea where it came from, but it's a great update of, hey, hey, we're the monkeys. We're talking with Kyle Hentz from 9/11 Citizens Watch. And, Kyle, you're working on a film, a documentary film. Do you want to describe it a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've just finished a fine cut. You know, the film's not altogether done.
Mm-hmm.
Been working on it for about a couple of years with two young filmmakers from Midwest. And it tells the story of, you know, the leading and most vocal of the 9/11 families, including three of the four Jersey girls and their search for answers about what led to the deaths of their husbands, mm-hmm. and how they fought a government that stonewalled them and sabotaged, undermined the investigation, didn't want an investigation from the get-go, and then ultimately, you know, won that battle and then discovered that the process was compromised, that there was conflicts of interest. And the final report left 70% of their questions unanswered by their own review. And then we segue into presentation of three threads of Paul Thompson's timeline. Paul Thompson was the former environmentalist, actually, who, after 9/11, came across Michael Rupert's timeline on the net, and he started to put together a better one. And it led to thousands and thousands of entries over the years, a lot of help from a lot of people, Center for Cooperative Research, and publishing a book. And then we follow three threads. We look at the hunt for bin Laden. We start with the warnings that came in, the foreign intelligence warnings, and what was done or not done. A lot of really poignant footage showing, you know, officials making statements that show them to be liars, very provocative. And we look at the hunt for bin Laden and how he repeatedly escaped. And Al-Qaeda was flown from Pakistan, from Afghanistan to Pakistan, as reported by Seymour Hersh. And then the final section revisits the wire transfers that have were, you know, locked out, were excluded from the 9/11 report, that were executed from Pakistan by the ISI by way of Dubai,
yep.
to banks in Florida, to Mohammed Atta. You know, again, setting up the whatever, you know, what was going on that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we wrap with a little critique of the media. We look at how they failed to connect these dots and you know, what are the implications of all this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very emotional and pulls at your heartstrings, but also reveals the official story to be far from satisfactory and far from the truth.
Kyle, I got a loaded question for you, and you got 3 minutes to answer it. As I mentioned, the mainstream media over the last few days has uncritically delivered to the American people the official timeline, sequence of events, particularly I'm relating to Flight 93 here in the Moussaoui case. What is wrong? What are the questions that need to be asked about that official sequence of events?
All right, well, I'll start with a personal story. When I was sort of in the middle of my work with unanswered questions, I had held a press conference with Catherine Austin Fitz down in D.C. and a number of family members and lawyers and researchers and so on. And after that, you know, garnered some attention, and I eventually got a call from documentary producers who came over and interviewed me here in New York City. And I remember they interviewed me at the hotel, and they said, well, we're heading out to Pennsylvania. And so they had rented a car, and they were going to drive to Pennsylvania to find out what really happened out there in Flight 93. Well, I didn't hear from them until they sent me a VHS tape of a program that they had edited and aired on one of the public stations over in Germany. And I watched it. You know, I could only hear the English. You know, it was in German, but I could hear the mayor of the town, one of the eyewitnesses to the explosion and the cloud, who was interviewed by the filmmakers, and also a reporter whose name I can't remember now from the Pittsburgh Gazette, who had driven the hour or so or whatever it was from Pittsburgh to get there.
To Shanksville.
Yes, to Shanksville, thank you. Mm-hmm. And so the mayor described what he saw, and I recall clearly his use of the word poof, that the plane went poof, as in vaporized or whatever, disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was talking about was illustrated again by what the fellow from Pittsburgh Gazette said, which was when he was there, he saw no recognizable bits of the plane. So, again, as the case so often with 9/11, regardless of where you're looking, you have differing eyewitness accounts. And in this case, and we all could see actually the pictures of the hole in the ground, of course, and there was no, well, where's the tail section or the fuselage or a big engine, which is like thousands and thousands of pounds of titanium, right, and so on. It wasn't there. We never saw it. And then there's, you know, a quote by the coroner that's in a documentary or a film called Loose Change that, you know, he was done with his job in 20 minutes because he didn't see any bodies or blood.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what to make of all this except to say that why aren't these people being interviewed on a Sunday talk show right now? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, why weren't they called before the 9/11 commission? And so that's one area I would look at. And
all right, we got to take a break, and we'll pick up on the other areas in just a moment. Kyle Hintz is with us from 9/11 Citizens Watch. Your calls and comments are welcome. Call me toll-free at 888-579-2540 here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our tasty planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect front man for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with a brand new reality radio show every Saturday evening, 6 to 7, right here on AM 540 KRXA. We'll have colorful, interesting guests, and we'll take your calls. There's no subject we won't explore together. So join us this Saturday night, 6 to 7, on Reality Radio with Sheila Gale on Progressive Talk Radio, AM 540 KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes past the hour. I want to welcome our new listeners in Phoenix, Arizona on KPHX 1480. Good to have you along. American prosecutors want to prove they're tough enough. The underlying case doesn't support it, but they've pulled out all the stops, including playing the voice, the cockpit voice recordings and some of the recorded calls, cell phone calls allegedly made by passengers on Flight 93. And that's why I invited Kyle Hentz to join us today. He's a co-founder of 9/11 Citizens Watch and has been working for the truth about 9/11 for many years now. And I don't even know what he does to make a living. I'm not sure how he pulls it off. Kyle, how do you pull it off? You have a trust fund or?
No. No, there are those who want to see the truth come out and saw that we were able to reach a lot of people through C-SPAN, the press conferences we were doing. And I didn't even go out to seek money. It came to us, mm-hmm. and we set up a 501c3 flow through, and we're able to fund our efforts, pay us a modest hourly wage mm-hmm. for our work, and that's what kept John Judge and I going for about 2 years, and now I've raised money for a documentary, which for which I'm really not been paid.
Yeah. Well, I want to return to our discussion about Flight 93. And again, we could talk about other issues related to 9/11, but today I want to focus on Flight 93 because the government made a dramatic move. And after blocking public access to the recordings I just referenced, the cockpit voice recorder and these recordings of calls from passengers, they released them in order to try to win this extraordinary death penalty for Moussaoui in the trial underway in Virginia. So we know that Flight 93 originated in Newark, and it flew west, and shortly after they got over Cleveland is where the first, at least according to the government scenario, the first audible signs of trouble in the cockpit reported about 9:28 a.m., and we're moving forward on a timeline where the plane is listed as crashing at 10:03. What are the issues you have with the timeline, Kyle?
Well, with the actual time of the crash, I mean, that's this has come to light or come to me through Lori Van Auken, who's a member or was a member of the 9/11 steering committee, which, you know, dogged the commission and put forward questions and such. And she actually called during the commission proceedings. She called the seismographic office in the area of Shanksville there, the nearest one, which had recorded an event at 10:06. And she asked them, you know, the commission is saying that the plane crashed at 10:03. You know, what do you say to this? And they said it was pure poppycock. You know, I mean, they have scientific instruments, you know, highly calibrated, and that picked up the seismic, data, that, you know, the vibration from the crash or whatever happened there, and marked it at 10:06. So what happened? If that's the case, then assuming the scenario that there was a plane and it did crash, what happened to those 3 minutes, and are we really hearing the last 3 minutes? I mean, it just opens up a can of worms, and it's a mess to sort of wade through them. But you know, if we're ever going to get to the truth, that's what we have to begin to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one area that I have a problem with, and you know, then you have this whole other question that's been brought forward by, you know, again, independent researchers doing this gumshoe investigations, if you will, that have found reports, media reports, in statements by the mayor in Cleveland, that Flight 93 actually landed there. I mean, I heard this and I go, you've got to be kidding me. And yet, you know, maybe there's something to that, I presume. I mean, I would love to hear the mayor interviewed about that. And they say that they offloaded the passengers on Flight 93 at a NASA facility in a hangar at the Cleveland airport. Well, where are those people? Why don't we interview, that's what I just wish we had, the kind of resources and time, or someone would go and chase down these people, interview the mayor and say, did Flight 93 really land here? Mm-hmm. Or interview the people that say they saw a strange white jet dogging the supposed in the Flight 93. I mean, it's just there's so much chaos around everything 9/11. It's just, a Herculean task to sort through it. It extends from ground zero, where they still don't have anything. They can't agree on what to go in the memorial or how to build it. Still nothing's going up, all the way through this 93 question and controversy, if you will. And it's just a mess. And of course, I have hopes that we're going to be able to spark a national dialogue, international dialogue, when these films start coming out. Not films that sort of recreate something that's in doubt, but gives voice to a lot of the questions that have been raised and some of the evidence that's been put forward.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that will happen.
Kyle, just following a moment, the scenario you described, and first of all, I want to stipulate for you and for me that it's not necessary for us to prove what truly happened in order to raise substantive questions about what we have been told.
Exactly. Thank you for doing that. That's exactly right. That's the only sane approach at this point.
Yeah. And so, for example, again, they showed the footage of the alleged debris field of Flight 93 in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and there's no aircraft debris. And the recently released documentary, 9/11 Loose Change, or I guess it's called Loose Change 9/11, and you can get it free. It's downloadable on the web.
Mm-hmm.
They did a great job of examining those specific issues.
Mm.
We know that Cheney had given an order to shoot down planes prior to 10 a.m. Eastern time that day, and Norman Mineta, the only Democrat in the cabinet and Secretary of Transportation, was in the bunker under the White House with Cheney and reported that an aide came up and asked if the orders still stood, and a clearly annoyed Cheney said yes. And so the theory one has is that it's possible that Flight 93 was shot down. So we then have to cope with the way they've dramatically depicted this. The Todd Beamer Let's Roll story is a very powerful one. There's no question about it. And it's not my desire to hurt the mother of Todd Beamer or the feelings of anyone else who lost a loved one on Flight 93 as we try to pursue the truth. But the story does not add up. And in the Moussaoui trial, they did everything except show the new feature film, United 93, in an effort to lard on the emotion, thicken up the story of the heroic passengers who tried to take back control of Flight 93. And nowhere in our mainstream media do any of the questions that you and I are raising right now get expressed.
No. No, and that's one of the things we broach in our documentary, and we hope to, trigger a debate about, because, like, where are they? They're missing in action, and what forces are at play in our country now that have prevented or led to the media completely, failing in their responsibility as the fourth estate to connect the dots, to follow the hot leads before they go cold, et cetera, et cetera. It's
hard as it is, we've got to challenge this myth-making as it occurs. If we just let it sit, then it will take hold. Let's take a call. Dave in the Pinnacles. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Kyle Hintz.
Well, hi, Peter, and thanks a lot for coming on, Kyle. I really appreciate what you're doing, and we just need more people like you that have the wherewithal to investigate and get to the truth. And, Peter, I'm always interested in psychology. And we're talking about mass psychosis here. We're talking about an unbelievable tale of events that have been told to millions of people that are believing it. And I think that is really a problem many times larger than some attack on a couple of buildings and a war and halfway around the world. Our country, it's like a science fiction movie. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's, to use a kind of atrocious comparison, this is Jonestown, and we have all been drinking the Kool-Aid, bro.
We have. It's unbelievable. Like Building 7, that is the most amazing story. We have, metallurgists, structural engineers by the dozens saying, hey, didn't it happen like this? Couldn't it just fell down from a low-level, low-temperature diesel fire at the base? It's impossible. Mm-hmm. But yet, somehow, people like Sam Farr, Senator Boxer, and all the people that are supposed to be on our side have not raised one friggin' question. And this is what blows my mind more than anything.
Well, there's this inherent tremendous resistance because the implications of having to rewrite history and basically say it didn't happen like this. I mean, we're making a case here that it didn't happen like they say, that we don't know what really happened. But, you know...
We know that didn't happen.
To the layperson, certainly Building 7 looks like it came down in a perfect, controlled, symmetrical, you know, demolition brought on by explosives or something, you know. I mean, and yet that's not something that's ever been broached except very briefly in Tucker Carlson's show, The Situation, when he had Stephen Jones. He didn't treat him very well. He didn't play the actual slow-motion animation. But that's the only time that it sort of crept into the mainstream media. And he got all kinds of hell for how he treated Dr. Jones.
I'm sure the guys at NBC tightened up his bow tie.
That's true.
That's probably what happened. Although he professed he would keep an open mind because he got
I just think
mail.
The pressure needs to be put on the legislative branch. I mean, those are the people that we go to as the Joe Blow civilian. We have to call up our legislator and say, hey, you know what? This don't add up.
If all right, Dave. You are correct. I got to move along here and take a break. We'll continue in just a moment with Kyle Hintz. There's room for your call, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 888-579-2540, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
In Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagan and the abortionists and the feminine and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of that, who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we have adopted that agenda at the high levels of our government. And so
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. KRXA 540 with a look at traffic, 547 now. Here's Amy Knight.
Something we don't talk about every day, Peter. And Interlake, actually Bradley, Interlake Road at Plato Cemetery Road, there's two buffalo walking around in the lane.
Really?
Yeah, just kind of a side note that we thought we'd throw in there today. You never know.
And here comes Dick Cheney.
Last week when you were gone, we had llamas walking around. So I think they were off to the ark. You never know, two by two. But in Monterey, eastbound Holman Highway at Highway 1, we have reports of a stall, Carmel Valley Road at Rio Vista, an accident clearing, and Corey Street at 41st, a crash clearing there as well. For oil changes and preventative maintenance, including serpentine belts and fuel filters, air filters, even wiper blades, nobody does it like Jiffy Lube. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show from the Left Coast. We shine a little light to help you navigate here in the new dark ages. And we continue our chat with Kyle Hentz from 9/11 Citizens Watch. And as he mentioned, he's in the midst of post-producing a new documentary with the lingering questions about 9/11/01. And I asked him on the program today to comment on the way the government has used the information from Flight 93, their official information, in this unusual manner to try to win a death penalty sentence for Zacharias Moussaoui, who is a loony guy who wants to be martyred in the name of Al-Qaeda. And it appears that we're going to provide that service for him. And they've gone to extraordinary lengths using this information that they told us would never be released to the public. And only families of the victims of Flight 93 were permitted to hear the cockpit voice recorder, and that was a few years back. Kyle, you're in touch with family members. Do any of them feel a sense of manipulation in the way the government is now making this available after saying that they were going to keep it under wraps?
You know, I don't know. I've been just in the editing room and in front of my computer, so I can't speak for them at the moment. But I would imagine so, and I know that just from the reactions I've been hearing about Flight 93, they're very concerned about that level of manipulation. You know, just revisiting the horror of that show as depicted, you know, as what happened as depicted on the film that's come out from Universal.
Well, then let me ask you to comment on John Farmer. He's a former attorney general of New Jersey. He was recruited to the 9/11 Commission by Governor Kaine. And he wrote a very powerful op-ed piece published Tuesday, April 11, in the New York Times. He started off by talking about the Nuremberg trials after World War II. And he says, put simply, Zacharias Moussaoui is no Hermann Göring. He's barely Colonel Klink, the fictional comedy character from Hogan's Heroes. He goes on to say, Moussaoui is evil, and there's no doubt he arrived here determined to kill Americans, but he was not a leader of Al-Qaeda. He was not even, as initially reported, the 20th hijacker. He was not in contact with the hijackers in the United States. His apprehension in late August did nothing to disrupt the plot's timing. He sat in jail while the attacks unfolded. Based on his contact, conduct, he should sit in jail some time. And he wishes for 50 or more years he wants him to die in prison. But he argues, even though he supports the death penalty, that this is the right trial, wrong defendant, is the way he put it. You know John Farmer. Tell us if this is a remarkable piece of commentary from this man.
Well, it is. I mean, I don't know him. I did meet him on a couple of occasions when I was attending the commission hearings. And, you know, he revealed a couple things to me, sort of just in conversation, standing outside the hearing room, about other issues, so war games and such going on, and but that's another story. What I find interesting is this is the first sort of high-level official, or in this case a former 9/11 commission member, senior counsel, to actually raise an issue that I've raised again and again. It's like, whatever happened to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed? I mean, how long do you hold someone in an undisclosed location? How long can you torture one? You know, when most people understand that torture doesn't really, is not an effective way to get to the truth, where is he? Where is, you know, Ramzi bin al-Shib? And I was just heartened to see him talk about, you know, if you're going to pursue justice, and we're obviously raising questions about the alleged perpetrators, because They haven't been brought to justice. So what? There's a travesty of justice happening here. The one issue that I would take with Mr. Farmer's editorial here is that, I don't have the definitive word on this. I'm not an expert in this area, but I have read an account that put Massali in Norman, Oklahoma, where some tickets were bought for the day of 9/11, and this is an area where a former senator has some strong ties, and so there are reports of him having contact with some of the other hijackers. So I don't know whether that's the one part that I for sure feel comfortable challenging and just saying, well, maybe we ought to look at that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do not believe he's innocent. I just think he is not guilty of the charges that have been brought.
Well, no, I mean, I just don't believe, I mean, my personal beliefs I'm just not a believer in the death penalty. So it's just like, I can't be pushing for that. I wouldn't. And the fact is, he was in jail when it all happened. And the stories are, he's put out conflicting stories, conflicting accounts, even his lawyers putting up different things at different times. The government saying he was the 20th hijacker. No, he wasn't. And then he said he was part of a fifth plane. It was going to target the White House. The guy is obviously, he could well be insane, and I don't think it's right to put an insane person to death.
And Kyle, I have a very specialized BS detector software that I was born with.
Yes, I'm
and
sure you do.
The thing that really triggered it was the recent testimony, again, against the advice of his attorneys, when he took the stand and said that the fifth plane was going to be a team of him and Richard Reed, the shoe bomber. Now, there is no indication whatsoever that Reed trained for any kind of these attacks using airliners as a weapon.
Very peculiar.
He's
the guy responsible for all of us having to take our shoes off every
right.
time we go through the airport.
And there's no indication that he wanted to hijack a plane. He wanted to blow one up with the shoes that he was trying to ignite with his Bic lighter. And so when I heard the testimony of Moussaoui that he was teaming up with Richard Reed, that to me was a real obvious indication that this guy is making up stories that he believes we want to hear and that will ensure that he gets the death penalty instead of being consigned to rotting in prison for the rest of his life.
Yeah. One issue we haven't touched upon, might just throw this out here. One of the questions the jury had to answer when they decided whether he was going to be eligible for the death penalty is, what did his lies lead to the deaths or some of the deaths on 9/11? Well, it was a perfect opportunity to segue to the fact that government officials, U.S. government officials, have lied about what they knew, which, if they had acted upon, could have foiled and prevented the attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were multiple investigations ongoing at the field office level that were repeatedly, again and again, sabotaged at the higher level of headquarters in Washington. And we should name names. People should look at the name David Frasca, who has been rewarded with some cash bonus for his service to the country, who was in the office and handling this FISA request from Minneapolis that Raleigh, Colleen Raleigh wrote about. And also, I think his name is Mike Maltby, as someone to look into at the office, mentioned in testimony by the agent Samet. And then a third person, Spike Bowman, who has since left the FBI. Spike Bowman spiking investigations from the FBI headquarters that could have foiled this plot, should have exposed this plot.
Well, that's a very important point.
Yes.
Because to take a non-citizen and, deny him the same rights, to the Fifth Amendment ban on self-incriminating testimony, and then to assert that basically by inference that he could have stopped the 9/11 events, and we let all Americans off the hook. We know about the repeated warnings that came from numerous foreign intelligence services and foreign governments that the White House ignored. And if you don't want to take my word for it, read Richard Clark's book. And there you see the conscious ignoring of his efforts to convene top-level meetings at the secretary level to
That's
deal
right.
with the threats that he was aware of as early as July of 2001. He
it was
didn't
only
take
systematic the way they kept putting it off.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you're going to stretch the law and stretch our procedures to kill this guy, then we ought to stretch those procedures just a little bit to get the truth and to hold accountable the people in our own government who failed us prior to 9/11.
Failed us. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay.
I agree. And in case after case, all those who, quote, unquote, failed us who were in positions of responsibility, as I like to say, at the time when it happened, have been rewarded for their role for what happened.
Indeed.
Rewarded.
Kyle, we're out of time now. Is 911citizenswatch.org still active?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I put up stories try to get one up every day at least, and we hit, I don't know, over 2 million reads, total reads. It's not rawstory.com, but it's...
Okay, visit 911citizenswatch.org. Kyle
Hentz,
thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm Peter B. Collins. We'll do this again tomorrow. I hope you'll join me then.
Happy trails to you.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters. Every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Mulligano. Big issue is whether to put 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui to death or give him life in prison. He took the stand today to argue for life. Though CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart says it sure sounded much like an argument for execution.
Make my day, Moussaoui exclaimed when shown pictures of 9/11 victims. Do you have any remorse, he was asked. None whatsoever. Wish there were more. No pain, no gain. So you want this jury to put you to death, prosecutor Rob Spencer asked. I want to live to fight, he said. Someday I'll be free. It's a long way before we reach you, but we'll reach you. So you'd kill even if sent to prison, Spencer asked. Anytime, anywhere, Moussaoui responded.
Back in January, Ford workers at 14 facilities, only five of them named, were told they'd have 6 years to get their affairs in order before the plants would close. Today, workers at plants in Norfolk and St. Paul were told theirs were among the 14. And WWJ reporter Jeff Gilbert says they don't have 6 years, but two.
The two plants will close in 2008, eliminating 4,300 jobs. Ed Hay is bargaining committee chairman of UAW Local 919 in Norfolk.
I think it's a slap in the face to the hardworking men and women of Norfolk Assembly Plant. Our plant has consistently performed throughout the years, number one in quality, and now this comes down. I think that's unacceptable.
Ford says it has to slim down in order to survive. The company is working to shed 30,000 manufacturing jobs nationwide. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
And this is always fun. Not. Especially when you're scrambling to pay your taxes. You're trying to figure out how you're going to live in retirement.
Lee Raymond earned $69 million in his last year as ExxonMobil's chairman. That's $190,000 a day. The average American worker earns $43,000 a year.
But CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says ExxonMobil chairman Lee Raymond's now retiring.
Lee Raymond is going to walk away from ExxonMobil with something close to $400 million, including $67 million in his last year's salary, an $80 million pension plan, stock options. Heck, they're even going to pay for his country club dues.
That wasn't that fun. AT&T and an Internet advocacy group are waging a privacy battle in San Francisco federal court that could expose the reach of the Bush administration's secretive domestic wiretapping.